Today's story is News from the Front, written by Emma Froh. Awash with terror, I lay in bed jumping and flinching at every creak. The old country house had always made such noises at night. The beams would creak, the windows would knock, and the wind would howl down the fireplace. I had not always been so afraid of these sounds, but then again, I had not always been alone. My wife and I moved to this village 5 years ago. We had just married, and the house was just right for us. I admit it was a bit weather-worn, but my wife, Emily, could afford it, and there was a job available as a village postmaster. She bought the house, took the job, and we were happy. Oh, so happy here. The wind could scream bloody murder, and the house itself could shake. But with Emily here, I feared nothing. That, though, was before. Before the war. Before enlistment. Before our men were sent to fight, fester, and die in those god-awful trenches in France. So I lay alone, on a cold, windy night, both scared of the unearthly things that could be upon me in this unsettled house, scared of all the two earthly dangers facing my wife far across the channel. Context. It's a strange thing. Some things within a certain context can be dull and boring, warranting no thought or attention. Though in a different context, the same thing, noise, in this case, can be terrifying. The noise I heard that night would be, in the right context, so very dull. But in bed alone in my old house, this sound scared me to my very bones. Someone had just unlocked the front door and was walking towards the stairs. I lost feeling in my feet. My hands tingled with pins and needles, and my mouth went deathly dry as I listened to the heavy boots trudge across the floorboard. My stomach churned as if it was emptying to physically expel this newly tangible, poisonous fear from my body. I didn't have time to react further as the boots hurried up the stairs and a hand came around my bedroom door. I was at the point of passing out as the woman's face appeared. How soon and how much everything changed in an instant. I yelled and cried at her and jumped into her arms. Emily, you're home. We both sat on the bed in tears as she struggled to find her words to explain her return. She explained about the shelling they came under, her time in the army hospital with Reg, who happened to be both my neighbor and my best friend Meg's husband. Emily explained the shrapnel in her arms and back, her discharge from service, and how Reg should soon be discharged as well. Soon thereafter, she retired to bed without so much as a bite to eat. I suspected she was merely exhausted. I slept soundly that night. Emily was up and dressed when I woke up the next morning. She said she had no time for breakfast, as she was off to the post office to resume her duties as postmaster. I found this unusual. However, I didn't say a word, as I was simply happy to have her home, and imagined she was adjusting back to life at home. Emily was scarcely gone for 2 hours before she returned with a huge sack of letters, which she promptly dumped on the kitchen table. She sat sorting the correspondence for an hour or so, and I couldn't help notice that she had placed roughly 2 dozen piles of mail in the small iron waste bucket we keep next to the stove. Upon noticing my curiosity, Emily explained they were rubbish, and I was to burn them. Then, with a harshness that I have never heard in her voice, she told me not to open or read a single one. They were to be destroyed and nothing more. After she had made this demand known, she left on her rounds. The minute she was out of sight, I grabbed the letters from the iron bin and did what I was told, burning them in the stove, one by one. After the fifth letter, however, I began to notice a pattern. All of these letters were addressed to a woman in our village, or to those in neighboring towns, and they all had the army seal on them. I was puzzled by this, but my general confusion gave way to horror as I came upon the eighth letter. It was addressed to me. Shaking and losing more of my composure with each passing second, I opened the letter and began to read. It was an official letter to me, offering condolences, informing me that Emily, along with her company, had been killed in action. Foolishly, I cast the letter into the stove, destroying it. After a few moments of nonsensical weeping, I looked through the other letters. The final piece of mail was addressed to my neighbor, Meg. Emily came home later that evening. For the second night in a row, she refused to eat. At that moment, I began to realize that not only had I not seen her eat or drink since she had come home, but I had not seen her sleep either. Moments later, Emily interrupted my reverie, asking me coldly if I had destroyed the letters as asked. I nodded and said yes. After all, it was nearly true. I had destroyed all the letters, all but one, the one addressed to Meg. That night in bed, though my eyes were closed, I could feel Emily staring at me. She stared for hours. When she eventually rose from bed sometime after midnight, I imagined it was because she was certain I had fallen asleep. I strained my ears. I could hear her downstairs speaking aloud in a strange voice. It was Emily, but it wasn't. And it was not English or any other language I recognized. The next morning I woke up to find Emily the same as the same before, dressed, refusing breakfast, and on the way to work. But that day I had a plan. If I could just get to Meg and show her the letter, the two of us could think of a way out of that hell. I was close to losing my composure again as I knocked firmly on Meg's door. She answered the door smiling broadly from ear to ear. Before I could break down, show her the letter and explain what had happened, she spoke five little words. Reg came home last night. And with those little words, she crushed any hope I had of escaping that nightmare. Fighting the knots in my stomach, I managed to ask Meg where Reg was, and she had told me that he had accompanied Emily to the county post sorting office to accept a nice new job. This all happened 3 months ago. Since then, dozens of men have come home. Without exception, and thanks to my Emily, all of them had been given jobs with the post office and other communication services. When I lay in bed at night, I shiver and jump. The noises of the house no longer scare me. But when my wife passes our house during her postal route, my blood runs cold. Context. It's a strange thing.